Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit in creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, and I am Hillary Burns, your host, and today we have a very special guest. We have Margot Denemy. As a retired crown attorney, which is the equivalent of a district attorney in the U.S., Margot witnessed firsthand how low self-esteem and social media could harm children, leading to mental health struggles, bullying, and legal issues. Margot is a dedicated mother of two daughters and has always been passionate about protecting children's mental health and self-esteem. Her journey began in 2013 with the Celebrate You Tour, where she visited over 150 schools in Canada and the U.S. addressing the dangers of social media and promoting self-worth. Welcome to the stage, Margot Denemy, and thank you so much for your work. It's so important.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be on your show.
Yeah, well, and this is your second time, right?
That's right, exactly. We go way back now.
Yeah, we go way back, and we were talking about, I think it was your first book, right? I don't think you even had your second book out yet, did you?
No, I didn't, because it was 2014, I'm going to say, when I wrote Mommy, Am I Pretty?
Okay.
And that is when you and I met.
Wow. Wow.
11 years ago. Hard to believe.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. So why don't you, just for people who haven't seen the first one, do you want to just give a real quick explanation of Mommy, Am I Pretty and why?
Absolutely. So okay. What happened was my daughters were quite young. They were 7 and 5. And I began to see what they were looking at and images that they were comparing themselves to, whether it was in magazines or at that point, social media was just getting started. So they were all images of at the point, movie stars who had all been photo edited, who really didn't look the way they looked, all polished, all clean, perfect hair, perfect teeth. And I thought, this is not going to go well in the end. Like if we don't start to educate our kids. So at night, before we go to bed, I would always talk to my daughters about what they did that day, who they were on the inside, because I thought this is going to be so important. And that quickly turned into a book that I called Mommy Am I Pretty, because it was all about a little girl who her best friend asked her if she was pretty. And on the walk home, her mother walked through various traits that make somebody a beautiful person, being kind, developing themselves from the inside by developing passion, the importance of failing, self-talk, positive self-talk. So that's how Mommy Am I Pretty was created.
And did your daughter ask you if she was pretty?
There was that discussion, you know, I think it's a common discussion with girls that, you know, am I pretty and she's popular and all of these words that are thrown around, but can be very impactful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great. And then what was, so is this your second book? This one that I have.
And the second book is Awesome Inside and Out. So
It's not that one. Okay.
I had gone to schools, and after every talk, they'd say, when are you going to do a boys' book? So right before COVID, I created Awesome Inside and Out, which is a more inclusive book. But it has very similar theme about creating your best self from the inside. And so, again, when I go to schools, I called it my Celebrate You Tour, because that's what we did. We celebrated our self-worth, our self-esteem, our confidence, and being unique.
And did you really went, I mean, I'm not questioning what you wrote, but 150 schools?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. That was an understatement. Because what I would do is I would take days off from work and I would just go. And some days I'd do one or two or three schools depending on the time frames. So it was and it just kind of fed my soul. You know, it was the right thing to do. And the reaction from the kids about speaking about something that was clearly on their mind became so important. I mean, one of the highlights of that whole tour was a little girl came up to me at the end of the talk and said, "I just really want to thank you for writing the book because I've never felt like I was pretty. But now that you've taken the time to explain to me what pretty means, I think I might be, and I just want to give you a hug." So, you know, it's been a
Oh.
journey of 12 years of speaking to kids, so it's been wonderful.
Wow. Now, all right, this is a personal question, but do you get paid to do this, or are you just volunteering your heart
Much
and
of
soul?
it was volunteer work.
Wow.
Well, seeing the impact, and you know, social media became more of a thing, and so it was more inundated. Now their friends were also using filters, so it was really hard to determine what was real, what was fake, and the education became that much more important.
Wow. And are you still doing that? You still going around?
Absolutely. So what happened was, and the evolution was, right before COVID, I'd published Awesome Inside and Out. After COVID, I was asked to speak at a women's event. And it was after that that so many parents started to come up and speak to me about what was happening at their house with social media. And it had moved dramatically from self-esteem and self-image to my daughter's self-harming. My daughter was the victim of an online predator. My neighbor's child gave their 9-year-old a smartphone and they haven't seen her come out of her bedroom. It became the disordered eating, both amongst boys and girls. It became so epic that the crisis was just so clear. The mental health crisis that had grown since COVID was just alarming to me. So at the time, I was still employed with the Ministry of the Attorney General in Canada. And I recognized that there was a real need now to get out to schools. There was a real need to find and develop a resource for parents to educate. And because I'd had the experience and knew the impact of Mummy Am I Pretty and Awesome Inside and Out, that's why I developed the Family Smartphone Guide.
Let me show you. And do you have a copy of the other books to show or not within reach?
Not within reach, but I
Okay.
certainly will
Okay. All
after
right,
the
good.
break.
Wow. Well, I really commend you on taking this on. I mean, it seems like it's such a bigger thing. You know, it's not even, people don't even talk, like they're not even aware of it. I think, you know, when you think mental health, you know, it's just like they think there's nothing they can do about it, and there's, you know, it like they don't get that the situation is causing it, right? Wouldn't you say that's a correct statement? Like they just think, oh, my kid's this and my kid's that or whatever, like there's nothing they can do. And I think, you know, even more so than the kids, if the parents realize there's, you know, the next generation of parents, you know, when my kids are now 29 and 26, I don't think it was as bad when they were growing up. You
That's
know, like my daughter would say, you know, well, this one little girl down the street had 12 pairs of Uggs, you know, and we finally got her one, but I'm like, I'm not getting you more than one. I mean, you know, so it was more like that stuff, like who had money and who didn't, and that made them better people because, you know, they had more Uggs. You know, it was just like stuff like that. I
But
don't think.
that was within your community. Now it's within the world. So that's what
Right.
the culture of comparison is all about, right?
Right. So I can, yeah, and they didn't get phones when they were so young. When do you think it changed? I mean, your daughters, how old are your daughters now?
They are 20 and 22.
Okay.
They were in it with, you know, if you look at an if your listeners are have not read Jonathan Haidt's The Anxious Generation, he really speaks to the evolution of how we got here. And it's really an impactful read. You really learn the history. And the problem is, it's so insidious, and it's happened over such a long period of time where, you know, engineers from big tech companies like Meta and Snapchat and TikTok, they've all developed over time to make it so addictive, to make this such a harmful product, that I think no one really saw it. It wasn't like bad one or good one day and bad the next. It was a gradual transition. And so what happened was, after I'd had this discussion with these parents, I was asked to speak to the Ontario Public Service, which is all the employees with the government. And so I'd met a pediatrician along the way who was the chair of the Canadian Digital Task Force. And we had done a joint presentation about the physical, mental, and legal implications of smartphone use, including, you know, the impact of online predators. And we tied it all together in a presentation. And the response from parents was overwhelming about, you know, to your point, is that people just don't understand that these devices and the social media impact from the physical, the brain development, the sedentary behavior, the you know, we're learning more and more about tech neck and the posture. And so the physical aspect of the harm, the mental aspect, the addictive nature of these algorithms and all of the implications of that, and the endless scrolling and what the algorithm is feeding you, whether it be harmful content, disordered eating. And then it goes on to, you know, your example about Uggs, the culture of comparison, these fictitious lives that people are displaying on social media that start to harm, you know, anxiety and depression is at an all-time high for our youth, because the self-worth, the image, you know, is taking a real kicking. And the other thing is, from my background, seeing what we saw in criminal court, you don't give your child a smartphone with social media access thinking that one day they might be arrested because of cyberbullying and online death threats and criminal harassment and sharing pornography. So you can see that, as I said, it was insidious. There's so many aspects. It's not just giving a phone over.
Wow. One story. We used to have a neighbor, and she came over to my mom's house with her boyfriend, and she hadn't been married before. And so I posted a picture, you know, on our family chat, and they were all like, "What do you mean boyfriend? She had the perfect marriage on Facebook."
Exactly.
Here she had been divorced and had a new boyfriend, and no one knew because that wasn't what was posted.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So if people are comparing their own lives to what the perfect lives are that's being posted, of course you're going to feel like, what's wrong with me, right?
Absolutely.
It's not real.
Yeah, 100%. I always say that nobody posts a picture of them cleaning out their basement.
Right.
Yeah, there's no palm trees in the back.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Woo. All right. So now, what was the name again? The Anxious Generation. What was the author's name again?
Jonathan Haidt.
How do you spell that?
Haidt.
Oh, HT. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I recommend that book, right, for people?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. It's a great book. It really, and in that book, he also outlines the four norms that we can get back to a play-based childhood through delaying smartphones until 14 years old, delaying social media until 16 years old, and ensuring that we have phone-free schools, which, as you know, I hope your listeners know, there are a lot of movements right now in Canada and the U.S. supporting phone-free schools. And I'm part of one of them that has been developed through Fair Play. which is out of Boston. So it is, there's great movements. There's great supports out there. The Phone Free School movement is an excellent support.
Wow.
And he's also getting back to a play-based childhood is the fourth norm that he says. If we implement all four within our communities, we will see a change within 2 years. Wow. So I think that's really optimistic. And I think that's a really positive approach to implement, because right now with
so what are the four? What are the four again?
No smartphones until 14.
Yeah.
No social media until 16 years old.
Okay.
Phone-free schools.
Okay.
And getting play-based childhood. Okay. Giving, all right. So those he always makes the analogy that we are overprotective in the physical world and underprotecting our children online. And that's why the predators, the online predators, are having so much success contacting kids, because these devices are in kids' bedrooms and predators will go where children are.
Wow.
Unfortunately.
Wow. Well, I've seen them on the seniors, my mother, but it was more phone. They would call my mom, act like her best friend, ask her for her checking account and her, when she had the beginning of dementia a few years ago, now she has it more, but she would give it. They were so nice. They were her best friends, and give it. And then we had to stop her phone. It started forwarding to my sister instead, because we had to keep changing her checking accounts and her credit cards. I mean, so yeah, predators, I think they prey on the weak. But I mean, I've had stuff. I had my Instagram scammed. I clicked on something thinking I was voting for, sounds stupid now, but this guy from high school, he was so cute and he was quote unquote running for election. And I got, I didn't do anything. And then I kept getting reminders, aren't going to vote for me. So I was like, all right, I'll vote for him. And then boom, my Instagram was hacked. I never got it back.
Oh,
and then he started preying on my friends as me for cyber, whatever that stuff is, to invest, and they think it's me because he's now me.
My God.
And trying to get them to vote for me. And so my nephew and another friend fell for it. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. What can you do? He's now got my account. So
yeah.
I think they prey on a lot of us, and it's scary.
Identity theft is a very real crime with very real consequences. I would like to get out to more seniors' residences to speak to families and the elderly about, the elderly that don't have dementia that are still, just so that they're aware, and their families are aware, because these, especially with AI, these crimes are becoming more and more sophisticated. They're now replicating bank documents that look completely realistic. Every day I think I get a notice from Netflix that my account's going to be canceled. And I'm thinking, what's the worst case? They cancel it and I call back. Right. But there's so many of these scams that it's really hard to distinguish what is a scam and what's not. And I think my whole thing is, let's raise awareness. There's so much happening right now. We have to talk about this. We have to try to keep our vulnerable safe. That's including youth and elderly, because it's the scammers are way.
For them, it's just a job,
Absolutely.
My sister got on with one of the guys and said, how could you do this to the elderly? And he was like, he just started swearing at her like terribly.
Yeah.
And then she started, because they were still calling, and she would then forward them. She would say, oh, she has a new number, and give them the fraud hotline number.
Right, right.
And forward them to them. But anyway, I don't know. I guess it's just educating, but you just don't know what's real and what's not, So now can I take you back to Fair Play? What exactly is that? I know that's out of Boston. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, it's a group that really focuses upon not commercializing children, basically, like not really focusing on what's being sold to children, what is, you know, they have the best interest of children at heart, and they're a very big lobbying company group that really does some amazing work in the U.S. They're really supporting a lot of the families whose children have died due to social media harms. Okay. And they're often, you'll see them in Washington, D.C., being a very big lobbyist and support group to these families.
Now, how have these children died? Or I don't know if you want to...
Oh, there's a variety of ways. There's a lot of fentanyl currently being sold online. It can be sold. There's a lot being sold right now on Snapchat and TikTok, and they will deliver it right to your home. And if there's, as we know, a trace of fentanyl, it can kill. And there's some that are being passing because of these TikTok challenges that are in fact very dangerous. There's a choking challenge that is being promoted through TikTok, and these kids think it's a good idea to give it a try because they're hearing about it. And it's very, very, very tragic. I just read that there was just one today, I believe in Kentucky, that took his life because of sextortion. Sextortion is a crime where the predator will see somebody's background on their social media account, and they will appear as though they're an attractive female and say, "Oh, I saw, you know, that you're the quarterback of your football team at school. You're so handsome. Oh my gosh, I just came across your profile." And they start to warm up to them, and they might start to send them nude pictures. And when the boy responds with nude pictures, that's it. Then they say, "Your life is ruined. Send us $500. Send us money." And it's extortion, but it's through sex. So it's called sextortion. And sadly, it is one of the fastest growing crime globally. And these predators are benefiting financially. And it is extremely disturbing. Wow. There are organized crime syndicates around the world that are just only doing this. So again, back to my point, we have to raise awareness that these things are happening, because our poor children are vulnerable. And the only way that we can protect them is through them understanding that's, you know, this could be a sham. And as I go to the schools, and we reference the family smartphone guide, it has all of these tools in the guide so that parents and children understand that this is a crime, that this can happen to you, and that it's so important to only communicate online with people you know. And as I always say, predators will go where children are. And that's games like Roblox and Minecraft. And you hear these games, and they're very common for kids to be playing, but they're also very common for predators to be hanging out on. Mm.
What is it? Roblox? And what was the other one?
Roblox. ROBLOX.
Oh, okay.
And Fortnite and Minecraft.
So I guess if a kid is hanging out in his room playing with this, if he doesn't have a smartphone, he can't, right?
That's correct.
So that's one way. I mean, once a kid is in their room, it's hard to get them out. You know what I mean? Depending, it's hard to take it away. It's easier not to give, I would think.
Right. Yes, there's a big, big argument for delay. And there's a lot of support groups out there to support the delay. Okay. In the U.S., there's a group called Wait Until Eighth Grade to give your child a smartphone. Mm. So what happens is early on, parents will sign a pledge in grade one or two to say, "We all agree," because as we know, a big part of this is fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. So we will join together in grade one, assuming you're staying in the same community, but even if not, and we will not give our child a phone or social media until they're 14 years old. There's a new movement in Canada, similar, called Unplugged Canada. Hmm. Again, the whole advocacy around both delay groups is to delay the giving of a smartphone. Wow. And social media, because smartphone's only a smartphone. Social media is the problematic, right? The access to the whole world is the problem. So, so those groups are doing very well. And, you know, I always, because...
You know, Margo, I just got, you know, when I'm just tying in something here. The self-esteem part, because I knew a guy, now this was back in college, and he got conned by this woman who pretended she was, just like the sextortion, pretended she, you know, she was this other, I don't know how she did it. She was like an evil genius, pretended she was this beautiful woman that kept this guy who was a smart guy. I mean, went to an Ivy League school and all that, pretended she was this gorgeous woman, and something happened to her account. So he had to give the money, and of course she was going to replace it, but she never did. And $10,000 he ended up spending of his parents' money that couldn't afford, I mean, but because of this woman, you know, now the, it ties into the sextortion. If you are a person that doesn't have good self-esteem and all of a sudden this seemingly gorgeous woman is telling you, you're this and you're that, and you're this and that, how would you not fall for it, right? You know what I mean? Yeah, but if you're educated and you know, now I also know people, older people who fell for this on dating apps where, you know, they got conned and the guy was just, oh, I'm so in love with you and blah, blah, blah. Well, these people wanted to feel loved. Exactly. And they sent them money. And at the end, you know what they said that they were upset about?
And he didn't that, love them.
Yeah. Not yeah. that they sent the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't really loved. And it's like, wow. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you think about it, what is that? That's the starting issue, that we just all want to be loved. And I think if parents know that, or I don't know what we do about that, but I'm just thinking, I don't think we'd be as anxious to fall for this stuff if we knew, I don't know.
Well, and that's okay, one of the right? reasons why I think delay is so important, because it allows your child to have a childhood, number one,
yeah,
and then play with their friends and do all of those things that build confidence by, you know, trying things, climbing a tree, and all of those fun childhood things.
Right.
Get versus outside. Scrolling. And yeah. having an algorithm and influencers telling them who they are and what they right. want to be. So if there's ever a bigger argument to delay, is exactly that. We have to develop their self-esteem. And it's funny. So my daughter's a civil engineer, and she came home after one of her first days, and she told me about a concrete pour. And a concrete pour, you have to get there early. You have to time the times the trucks come in, and you have to have the right temperature, and you have to lay the right foundation for the building to be built. And as she's explaining how intricate this concrete pour is, all I could think is, that's our child's self-esteem. We yeah. are laying the foundation from the time they're born until, you know, social media, hopefully at 16, takes impact. But let's give them a chance to develop who they are, so they have resilience and confidence and critical thinking, so that when they see these types of scams, they have the wherewithal to identify it and aren't so easily become prey to these online predators.
You know, okay, I have two questions. One, well, just, you know, my daughter, who when I was growing up, I had this thing, my parents wanted me to lose weight and blah, 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 blah. You know, it was a few pounds, but to me, it was like I wasn't okay. I thought I was so careful not to pass that down to my daughter. I never once told her anything about her weight. She still thought she was a fat child. Even so, I never said a word, but in her mind, she was. And now she's looking at pictures going, I wasn't fat. I'm like, I don't even know where that comes from. Do you know what I mean? Like, so we can be careful. And that was without the social media problem. So that's one thing I just wanted to say. I guess it's a matter of communication. If she could have said it out loud back then, we could have done something about it. But, you know, maybe that's just life. We all get our own stuff. But so that's just one thing. I don't know if you have anything to say. But the second question I have is about the fentanyl. Why are these kids ordering fentanyl? Like,
well, they're not ordering fentanyl. They might be ordering some type of other things. They're not ordering fentanyl. They might, who knows? They might be ordering pills that make you sleep, or, you know, who knows why they're ordering it. It just, you know, can be delivered and unfortunately can
have that. Yeah. Oh. It's so terrible. I know too many people who've lost children to that. It's just, it's such a waste, you know?
It is. It's a complete waste. And there's nothing that's happening for these social media companies to be regulated, to take it down. And again, I go back to education and awareness. We have to let people know these discussions, right? They have to be happening in our homes. And again, that's why the Family Smartphone Guide is there. It's there to facilitate these conversations, that just because it's online doesn't make it safe. There's a number of different, processes we have to go through to determine whether or not it's safe. And it's just not taking everything at face value, because there's nothing on the internet that should be taken at face value. And that's including news.
And how, just one last question before our commercial break, you know, going back to my daughter and the fat, and if you think you're that, or if these kids think, you know, it's cool to buy something or whatever, like that they need to do this in order to be someone or something, that they're not okay within themselves. Like, do you see, you know, your first two books, do you see that helping the problem in addition to not having, obviously if they don't have the phones, they can't do it. So that's like a bigger issue, but do you see the self-esteem tying in?
Oh, self-esteem is everything. See, what's happening, it's a perfect storm for kids, because if they're given a phone with social media, they're 9 times out of 10 in their room. Now they're isolated. Mm. So, you know, they might be Googling healthy food. All of a sudden they're getting disordered eating content, because once the algorithm finds out what your interest is, it's fine if you're Googling puppies and kittens, but that's not often the case. Right. So now you're getting all of this disordered eating content that's not making you feel like you're enough, that you're good enough. Ugh. So, you know, over and over. So this is going into your undeveloped brain, and, you know, you're not feeling your personal best. Well, in comes the predator. Hi. Oh my gosh, I saw your profile. You're gorgeous. Well, isn't that awesome? I'm not feeling good about myself. Now the predator is telling me, but I don't think he's a predator. I think it's a guy. And he wants to meet me. He told me he had a modeling gig. Oh my gosh, this is amazing, because predators don't come on and say, I'm a predator. So for human traffickers, this is perfect, right?
Oh my gosh.
First of all, the child is isolated. They're not feeling their personal best. They're not out with their friends because they're on their device. Now the algorithm is feeding them self-harm videos, social, you know, eating disordered videos. So, and it's just wreaking havoc.
So they're feeling worse now. They're already isolated. They're feeling worse.
And now the guy comes in. It's their full-time job to prey online, because they have steady access to your child, because they come in at all different areas on gaming platforms, on Instagram, because if your settings are public, they're seeing you. And so they're having a heyday. I met with a police officer who told me when they're arresting some of these individuals, these predators, they have Excel spreadsheets of kids that they're grooming online. Oh. So it is rampant. When I was growing up, you know, we heard about the white van. There was always a white van.
Yes. The guy with no pants, right?
Exactly. The stranger danger and all of that. It's so different now, and we have to be aware. We have to know that these predators, they don't even have to leave their basement of their whatever house to be preying on these poor children. So it's building that awareness that is so critical.
Okay. Wow. All right. Thank you for that. Okay, we're going to go to our sponsor who works with Margot, and she's going to do our commercial, our after commercial today as a special thing. So anyway, we're going to go to that and then we'll come back and then we'll finish with how you reach Margot and all that stuff. So here we go.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to RealTalkWithHillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
Thank you to our sponsor, Kikori. I'm going to do a very quick talk about my books first, and then we'll bring Margot back. This one is called Real Talk. You know what? In terms of what we've been talking about, if there's something bothering you and you just don't feel like you can say it, check me out at realtalkwithhillary.com, and I will work with you to find a way that you can say it that works for you. How to say the things you've never said so you can have the things you've always wanted. It was a problem for me, and I definitely am passionate about helping others who may have difficulty speaking up as well. If you're a people pleaser, it's really hard. This one, Your Bullshit is Your Blessing, this is about the two sides of life. One of them is that dark side where you don't think you're okay, you don't think the world's okay. And then there's a funner side, the right side, I call it. And this is tools and techniques for spending less time on the dark side and more time on the fun side. So I put it together because it works for me. I have a personal thing about kind of a nerd about finding more tools and techniques. So I decided to put them in a book. And then this one is my story, the second piece of French toast, about how I found myself again in a dark place. This was this book that started it all and how I got out of it. And this is to inspire people who might also find themselves there. So you can find them all on Amazon. You know, I really didn't think there was anything I could do, but gradually I did, and I wanted to write about it so that if other people find themselves there, they can use my my hard work to make their life better. Okay, here comes Margot. Here we go. All right. So you're going to do the after commercial for Kikori. Let's talk about your work with Kikori.
Kikori is absolutely amazing. It really is such an important social emotional learning app in that it just provides teachers and educators with the tools that they need to be able to better enhance the social emotional learning in their classrooms. It's so, I think one of the best features is it's so easy to use. And that is such an awesome aspect of social emotional learning app, Kikori. So I can't say enough about it. And I'm thrilled to partner. They featured my Mommy and My Pretty and Awesome Inside and Out. There's lots of work around that. There's lots that teachers can do to develop self-esteem. There's games involved. And I'm thrilled to announce that we are also partnering to create programs or curriculum around the Family Smartphone Guide. So there's going to be curriculum from social emotional learning, and it's going to be linked to digital literacy. And I think that's going to be such an amazing union.
And also, you know, the fourth tier of Jonathan Haidt's Anxious Generation is play-based childhood, which is what Kikori is based on, right? Play. It's all based on play. So yeah, you're already helping the next generation to get out of this trap, right?
Absolutely. And the best part about this too is, so as you've seen, I know you've held up my book, it mimics the driver's handbook. And so we all know what the road is to the driver's handbook. First of all, we're not giving our child the keys to the car at 8 years old. So let's implement the delay. Let's implement the delay supports, like Wait Until 8 and Unplugged Canada. Let's really gather with other parents to make that strong. During that time, we can't, technology is not going away. So we have to learn to use it, right? Then we can go to perhaps a computer in a common area of our home so that we can talk about digital footprints. We can talk about not having communication with strangers online. All of those lessons that we learn in the outside world, we can now communicate online, right? So, but it's within reason and within restriction. All of this curriculum is going to be available through Kikori and the social emotional learning that we're going to do with it, which is fantastic. So I'm very, very excited about that in the sense that it's going to be a great union because people are going to be able to understand that their kids are learning this at school with social emotional learning and digital literacy. So they're going to understand what a digital footprint is. They're going to understand that they don't speak to strangers online. So those types of lessons are incorporated. And then you don't have to go right to a smartphone with social media. There's flip phones available. If you need to get in touch with your child because you got to pick them up, go to a sporting event or go wherever, let's try a flip phone. Let's give them the ability to phone you and to text you. We don't have to go right to unlimited, unfettered access to the world. Then once we have the opportunity and they have the groundwork of digital literacy, being kind online, not cyberbullying, understanding that there's consequences to their behavior, and the fact that their brain is that much more developed at 16 years old, their confidence through living life and having a play-based child is going to be a little stronger. Then we introduce the driver's handbook / the family smartphone guide. We have discussions about it. We create education and awareness. And then we give the smartphone, or, yeah, you know, so that there's a buildup. It's not a rite of passage.
So let's say they do all that. They use Kikori in school. They're emotionally connected and all that. They've read your books. They have good self-esteem. They've gone through this handbook. And then they get a phone. And then a guy gets, you know, someone pretending to be this good-looking girl, and they don't think it's a stranger because, hey, they think he's pretty hot. How would he react after all this education instead of the poor guy who was sextorted and is now dead, right?
There, sadly, it's no guarantee.
No, but they would have more of a foundation. That knowing, oh, this happens, this might not be real.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fall for this. Well, because I have people, I'm connected to real girls. You know what I mean? Like, I feel good about myself. I don't need a stranger's prey. Like, I don't need, you know what I mean? That's what I'm, as you were talking, exactly. I'm thinking, how would they react? They would be aware.
Yeah.
They would be aware. I mean, the poor people who went first, you know, when this was being developed, didn't have a chance because it was new. Who would have thought that was happening?
Exactly. And parents are looking for resources, and parents deserve resources. And it is written in a way that is easily digestible. I've written it with Dr. Michelle Ponte. She, as I mentioned, is the chair of the Canadian Digital Task Force. And so she deals with a lot of families who are struggling because of these problems. So she was always very aware of the language that we were using. So the idea is, once you're anticipating getting the phone, you get the smartphone guide, you sit with your child, you go through it so that both of you are aware of the dangers. There's information about TikTok challenges. There's information about cyberbullying, uttering death threats through a text. You can utter a death threat. That's called evidence in my, you know, as being a Crown attorney. So, just because you're angry doesn't mean you can threaten someone. So that information's really important.
So I have two questions. One is, I forget the first. The second would be, I'll go to the second first. As things change and new things come, is there going to be a place where they can go to get updated threat? Oh, I know what the first was. Okay. Updated stuff. Like, who would have known there was a challenge about choking yourself? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how are they going to get updates? That's one. Yeah. And then the first, before I forget again, oh God, it just disappeared again. Oh, okay. If parents don't know that this is an issue, they're not going to take the time to take these steps. Like, how, and I know that's part of your commitment and your, you know, what you're doing, but I guess the question is, how can we get the word out so that people take this more seriously? And you know, you're going to spend the time on things you think are important. How do we get them to spend the time on this that's obviously so important to keeping their children safe?
Okay, to answer both your questions, number one, I foresee updates. It's going to be a digital copy as well. And you can go on Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. There's a digital copy. I completely understand that some of the changes, especially with AI, technology moves faster than legislation, which is another issue that we haven't touched. But I understand that there's going to be updates. But for the most part, the issues that are in the Family Smartphone Guide have been around for at least 10 to 15 years. So they are constant education, brain development, physical aspect, mental health aspect, culture of comparison, cyberbullying, all of those things have been around. And same, unfortunately, with sextortion and human trafficking and online predators. So there's a chapter on current tips and trends, which includes AI scams, gaming, you know, the apps, all of those things. So that's going to be updated regularly. Always check in with my website, www.raadd.ca, raising awareness about digital dangers. So that's one way to keep current. There's going to be constant webinars about interviewing experts. Getting the word out is exactly what you're doing for me. And I so appreciate it, Hillary, having me on air, talking about this, educating people so that they really understand that we're not just, this is not a fear mongering exercise. And I think that's what's most important. I'm not here to create fear, I'm here to create knowledge and education, because it's my belief when we know better, we do better. And that's why after I spoke to all those parents who were telling me about self-harm and suicide attempts and all of the struggles that they'd had with their children, I honestly, within a month, I retired from the Ministry of the Attorney General to raise awareness about digital dangers, because it's tragic what's happening. Parents need our support. Children need our support. There are so many urgent issues in our society right now with climate change, and I won't even name them all. But if we don't have the next generation with an education and the brain smarts to work through these issues, we need to be progressive here. We need to get this in.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow. Well, you know, if they're spending all their time on their phones, they're not developing their brains, and they're not learning how to problem solve, and they're not learning how to critical think, and they're not learning to be good citizens, and they're not learning manners, right? Because they're isolated. So that's where I think, you know, Kikori comes in also, because if they can learn to connect, to reflect, to, you know, what is it, play, reflect, connect, and grow. Those are the four. Yeah. And the, play is, you know, can you tell them how play impacts their ability to learn?
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the lessons is creating your digital footprint. So not only do they understand that you have a digital footprint, which means don't put your house, your address, personal things about you online. And, you know, this can go for parents too. I often see parents taking a picture of their child in front of their home address for back to school. You know, keep private, private, because people are watching, sadly. And when you make it your child's information just available, but back to children. So we, you know, they cut out a footprint. And they can put positive, negative, so that they draw what is positive, you know, doing good things, hiding my personal information, not having my tracking on. Negative is allowing predators to know where I am, leaving my tracking on so that people have an idea of where I'm located. So getting them to actively play, understand, talk about it, you know, reflect and grow from these lessons, I think is very important.
And if it's done, I'm just thinking, in a play way, you know, it's not a fear-based thing. They're experimenting themselves and then they're reflecting, oh, that might be smart. They're learning through play because their brain is relaxed. It's not in a fight or flight. It's not in a fear-based place where you can't learn, right? So that's what I'm thinking, but okay.
Well, and I love one of the games activities, play from my Mummy and My Pretty is after they read the book, they draw a chalk outline around one another, assuming the weather's nice outside, and then they write words that describe their friends, right? So they put the name of their friend. So there's things like that that make it a little bit more impactful and powerful in the play world. And I think Kikori does an amazing job doing that.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we have 3 minutes to wrap up. Thank you so much. I mean, thank you for the work you're doing to help the children. I mean, I know you left your job and everything because this is such a passion for you. Where can people find you to have you speak? They can hire you or whatever. Tell us about that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. No, I enjoy speaking to teachers, to educators, to children. Again, my website, www.raad.ca. Has all of the information there. You can contact me at info@rad.ca. Remember, there's two A's, two D's, raising awareness about digital dangers. And I would be happy to join. The book is available in the US, Amazon.com, digital version and hard copy, and in Canada, Amazon.ca, and again, digital and hard copy.
All right, great. And so if this took off, what would be your, when it takes off, thank you. 5 years from now, how do you see the world?
I hope and dream that we will have regulated social media by then. Hopefully legislation will be in place to make social media or big tech companies accountable for what they're doing right now to harm children online. And barring that, I really hope that the education, you know, I look at Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the brilliant work that they have done through education and awareness. As a Crown attorney, drinking and driving, impaired driving has been illegal forever. It was only through Mothers Against Drunk Driving, getting out to the schools, educating the youth, creating awareness about the destruction that has really changed the culture. I know youth now, they would never think to get behind a wheel. Whereas, you know, generations ago, it was commonplace. And it wasn't because of the legislation. It's always been wrong to drink and drive. It was through education and awareness. And I use that example because I think it's such a powerful example. And kudos to Mothers Against Drunk Drivers for the amazing work that they have done to create this awareness campaign. And I think we need to build awareness to protect our children, to protect our elderly, especially as we have AI that's just exploding now to wreak havoc and in people's personal lives, and especially the fraudsters. One thing I know about working in the criminal justice system is the criminals will go to the lowest denominator, and they will prey upon people who are vulnerable, unfortunately. And I think it's our job to protect
as best we can. Thank you so much, Margo, for the work you're doing. And let's get the word out. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Hillary.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony, and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.